Panther Nation, the C3 Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com.
I had fun, man, just out, you know, the guys joking, you know, we working at the same time, you know, putting the work in as a team. Like I said, I'm just glad to be with the guys, you know.
My favorite night of the week.
We're going to go out there, and we're playing to win. We're not out here just to just show up. We're out here to win.
I don't want guys that want me, because really, who doesn't? Nobody wants to win. Everybody wants to win. I want players that hate to win.
This embodies everything that we are as a team, as an organization. You know, our motto is keep calm. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying?
What is up, Panther fans? It's your boy, the Professor. Here with my homeboy Mel Mayock. We're waiting on Joe. He should be around here soon. It's the C3 Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com, where every Tuesday night we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. Mel, big news in Panther Nation today. Kelvin Benjamin is traded to the Panthers North.
You know, when I heard the news, I had to think to myself, is today Halloween or is it April Fool's Day? Because I didn't want to go all in and get, you know, totally look like a fool on the show. But, man, it was unbelievable. I did not see this coming at all.
So what are your thoughts on Cat?
You shouldn't do that. I got to stop playing with the sound effects. They just keep rolling in. But it was crazy. It was a Halloween surprise, should we say. Today, guys, the Panthers traded Kelvin Benjamin for a third round and a seventh round. I have not fully confirmed that, but of what if that was the exact data that we got or the return we got. But that's what the initial report that I saw was. Been kind of trick-or-treating with my family, doing some things there, and trying to follow this as best as possible in the process. So we ship Kelvin Benjamin out, and of course, Panther Nation loses its mind. So right away, in fact, Mel, you were upset about this, were you not?
I was, and you know, typically I'm the guy that gives the organization the benefit of the doubt, always look at the positive side. And as I've settled down a little bit, I've started to think about some of the positives on this, but I still don't like the deal. Okay. Midstream, you got some momentum going. No, I didn't like it. I mean, to me, this is not a move that a team that has their eye on the Super Bowl ring does for this year, because we did nothing to upgrade the talent and help the team this year. Much like back in 2015, the move that we made was to bring in Jared Allen, help that pass rush. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They brought in Jay Ajayi, right? I mean, they're adding to their roster. The Panthers took away from their roster.
Joe Riolano's here, I believe. Joe, how's it going, my man?
It's going well. Got behind in the trick-or-treating, and I am coming in hot, guys. My apologies, but I am happy to be here. Not so sure on this Kelvin Benjamin deal. We're definitely not – talent-wise, I don't think we're better, talent-wise. That doesn't mean we're not going to be a better team, though.
I agree.
Thinking about the diversity that they're talking about, being able to be more diversified on the field, there is a point to that. You will be able to get more speed out there. And, you know, we brought guys like Shepard over to be more than just a special teamer. He was supposed to contribute on this offense. So give him a chance, you know?
Right. All right. So I was hoping Mel was going to be more fired up, because Mel was angry earlier when we were talking through text as this was going on, as he thought Joey was trying to trick or treat him and play a trick on him. And mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be the only one that's going to come in here and be like, I'm okay with this 100%. Now, I think, but there's a couple of people ahead of me in the chat room. This is addition by subtraction, folks. And I know it hurts, because, look, KB's a baller. That's the thing, is he's not that great, but he's a player. He makes plays. He goes out there, and he kind of has a little it factor to him that maybe we haven't seen yet with Devin Funchess. and that we just lack in that receiving core generally. So I know that that hurts when you lose that. But we've talked about this. You know, I've been on this. I said this last week, too, is that when you have Funchess and Benjamin out there, you got a real duplication of talent going on. And the guys, so what you see is really Devin Funchess should be running the routes that Benjamin runs. And you can't just run, they can't run parallel to each other the whole game. So you got to make them do different things. And I think what this does is that, and Marty Herney came out this and said this, Bill Vo tweeted that he saw Marty Herney in the hallway. And he said that he thinks this gives the team ability to give more speed out there. And I agree, because here's the thing. The only way this team can get faster with Kelvin Benjamin and Funchess is there's two things they can do on that team. They can either take one of them off the field, right, and rotate them entirely. Or you bring in a third and fourth receiver. But what we see is that that hurts our pass block game so much that it makes it difficult for us to take advantage of things. So really what you find is this team kind of in a conundrum where they're kind of their best two receivers are Benjamin and Funchess, but they do the same things. So now what you can do is you can run two receiver sets and put somebody out there that's faster. You can put a Russell Shepherd who is a tad faster. You can put a Curtis Samuel out there who's a tad faster. And then you can move Devin Funchess over to the Kelvin Benjamin spot.
Yeah, brush your teeth, get your thing.
Joey's talking to his family. Sorry. Mute your mic, Joe. All right, so Mel, does that make sense? And I'm on the podcast by myself now. Mel Mayock, can you hear me?
I'm here.
I can't hear Mel. So Mel's got a dip. All right, come back, Mel. Man, Hangouts has really been giving us a Halloween trick or treat tonight.
Yeah, Joey, more tricking than treating.
Joey, how do you feel about that assessment of what we can do? Is that, like you said, that it doesn't, I don't think we get better as a talent. Obviously, we don't get better as a talent. And right now, I think Kelvin Benjamin is better than Devin Funchess.
Funchess is having a better year, wouldn't you say? Or has had a better year.
No, I think he's only had he had one better game.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I can hear you now. You're back.
I'm of the opinion that Funchess will be able to fill into the role that KB had, and I think he'll be able to do it maybe better.
I mean, yeah. I'm not really feeling that there's going to be a tremendous drop-off.
Here's my problem, guys. We talk about, well, this allows us to get more speed on the field. It allows us to not have duplication. But what was stopping us before? I mean, if our problem was we're better off having speed out there, then take one of KB and Funchess off, put in Shepherd, show us that the speed is the difference. I don't understand why you wait while you're playing both your guys to where – I mean, now taking one of them away, you're going to be better. I mean, is Ron Rivera that?
Well, I think you saw that. Didn't you see some of that against Tampa Bay? I thought I saw more.
But who made the clutch?
Benjamin
the clutch
and
play?
Samuel. I thought I saw more Funchess and, you know what I'm saying, and somebody else. I thought there was a mixture of different receivers. Kelvin Benjamin did catch the touchdown. I agree. But if you know, at the same time, that could have been. What I'm guess I'm just saying is this: if he's not out there on the field, then he can't catch the touchdown,
and we maybe lose.
Right? I do think too is that here is that there is another element to this is that Kelvin Benjamin is going to cost $8 million next year and be looking to subscribe to have a big contract, be in a contract year. And I just don't think he's a guy that you're going to be able to give big money to. He comes in to camp for the second time in his career, massively overweight. I think too is that I think Kelvin Benjamin's what I like about Kelvin Benjamin is that he's kind of a player, a baller, but he's not. I think his potential has a ceiling on it of what he can become. And I think what we're kind of seeing is that he's really not progressing into the next level route runner impact player.
He doesn't have the wiggle to have the great route tree, right? I mean, he's a great slant and go, box out type of a receiver.
But he's not great at those things. He hasn't been fantastic.
You're right. He's underachieving. So on the one hand, I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago. I was actually like, you know what? It's kind of depressing to think Kelvin Benjamin will be our number one best target receiver going forward. If he's going to be our fifth-year receiver and then we sign him, we got to pay him $10 million a year. That's kind of bad because he is not, you know, an elite top-end wide receiver. You can do better there. He should be a number two or number three or a tight end, honestly. So on that regard, I'm happy this move made. But the part that I really hate, guys, is that it's the middle of the year. You're trying to jockey for position to get to the Super Bowl, and you're taking talent off your team midstream to do it. This is a move that should have been done in the offseason, whether this one coming up or the previous one. You could say, well, we got something in return, but we got a third rounder. You know, what happens if Kelvin Benjamin goes or Funchess goes out there and gets hurt this coming weekend?
Now, you're right about that. What is this now on that point? What does this mean about how we feel about this season? Because we're five and three.
We're right in the middle of it.
We're 5-3 and the Bills are 5-2. They're adding, trying to make a run at a weak New England team this year.
Right.
You know, where their window is here to catch the Patriots sleeping for 1 year. And the Panthers, I don't know what this means about our what we believe we can be.
Now, the only thing that could be the saving grace, and people may be tired of hearing this, but it is very true. People have been very frustrated with our offense since when? Ever since the Super Bowl, when Kelvin Benjamin came back. Is that a coincidence that those two worlds collided, or is our offense not as good? And it very well could be that our offense is not as good with him, even though he's a better player than the other receivers. But look, Cam does lock in on him. Cam is looking for him. And does that make Cam delay a little bit and get hit a little bit more? Get a few more sacks, slow everything else down. Time will tell.
I think there's a financial element to this, though, too.
Definitely.
While I know it feels like we're not getting better this year, is at least you got something for them. And instead of just cutting them next year.
That's true.
And then also it tells me, too, that maybe you can – what we're loading up a little bit is to move around in the draft to get that offensive tackle that we need at some point. I think that's another thing. And then the last point that I do think going to what you're saying is that maybe there are some limitations of what Kelvin Benjamin can do out there. And what you say is this, is Devin Funchess can do all of those things he can do ultimately.
He's more athletic. He is definitely more athletic.
Plus a couple of other things. And then you're going to get other guys more opportunities. And I think one last thing is this, is Greg Olsen may return. I didn't think it was going to happen. You go in, you have foot surgery, whatever it was. But
it's looking like two more weeks. Looking like he's coming back after the bye. Yeah.
I think this, though, is imagine this offense. If you've got Snowshoes Olsen out there, Benjamin and Funchess, and that's what you're trotting out there. That's what we trotted out last year, and it was slow as dog. I mean, it was awful. And well, I think we got to get some things where we can get – but to your point also earlier is that why can't we try these things a different way – with this personnel? Why does that mean we got to make these moves?
So is there a disagreement between Herney and Rivera? I mean, is Herney forcing the hand? I don't know, you know, but I don't get why, how we're better this year by taking talent off. However, there is the argument. Just what you said. You've got two big plows out there. You've got Funchess. You got Benjamin. People are crowding the box. That's pulling both safeties down in the box because they're not worried about these guys running past them. They're not. And that hurts our running game. So perhaps, I mean, what will be interesting to me is if you move Funchess over into KB's role and you move CMC into more of a wide receiver role, right? And if those are, and you got Samuels, McCaffrey, Funchess as your three, and then Shepherd, you got that type of a mix, and you're leaving Cap. You saw a little bit more of Cap last week, which is great and refreshing to see. You got Cap and you got Stu as your running backs. You're starting to spread that defense out a little bit. So maybe maybe by taking KB out of there, it's going to help the running game. The only thing that's going to answer this is a few games.
Yeah, you know, I think, too, that it's difficult with KB and Funchess. Here's the thing is, can you really, at some point, when you got players that are good, even if they can't diversify your offense, it does seem like kind of weird to sit Kelvin Benjamin. You know, like, oh, well, we're trying to do some different things with the offense, so go sit over there. He's a guy that if you got him on your team, you want him on the field.
But you tell him, you know, he had what they say in that game, that he had a bursa sack pop under his knee. You know, I mean, so, you know, he's not 100%. You could have put it in the guise of, we're going to let him heal up for a couple of weeks and then tried something else and see if it works. But you were up against the trade deadline. So, you know, Herney, which another part of this argument, guys, is this a move that an interim GM makes, gets rid of talent and adds draft picks for the future?
Yeah. And one thing we haven't mentioned is that while we all like Kelvin Benjamin and I think we've been rooting for him, we don't know what the internal relationship is entirely with the team. Cody Lashney says this in the YouTube chat. Let's not forget, if Kelvin Benjamin had made that block against the Chargers on that interception, Cam wouldn't have messed up his shoulder. You saw the lack of – a lot of people have been critical of Kelvin Benjamin looking
up. Well, I was at that game. Folks were ready to hang Benjamin during that game because he was loafing. Now, they were also talking on FMZ today, Professor, about 2 weeks ago, Benjamin walked off the practice field just abruptly, and the Panthers guys did that as he was going to get attention to his knee. But people were obviously stunned that he just walked off. So there may be some underlying tension that's really not – coming up to the very top.
I think, too, to your point about what the offense can be, one thing that where you're talking about moving, I think we can get McCaffrey and Samuel on the field together now without it being so obvious what everything is going on. And right.
That's a good point.
That you can say that, hey, Samuel's going to be a receiver in this role. You've got to account for him downfield, and then you can do some movements and some things. But how do you put Samuel out there over Funchess? How do you put Funchess over Benjamin when they're all there together? It's kind of a difficult position to be in. And my final one other question I have for you guys is, did we get enough? You trade Kelvin Benjamin, you get a third and a seventh. I think it was Spencer, Esoteric Cranium, I believe, on Twitter. He put, he's like the Panther memorabilia junkie. I think he was the one that posted this on Facebook, is that he would have liked to see a third and a fifth round conditional pick.
Yeah, but at that point, you're really kind of splitting hairs, right? I mean, fifth or a seventh conditional.
Don't do nothing.
Seventh, well, anything. Yeah, I mean, tell Captain Munnerlyn that. You're right. I mean,
tell
you're
Butker
right.
That.
You're right.
We there isn't a seventh pick on this team since except for Captain Munnerlyn.
Right. And he made one of the plays of the game this past week, so let's don't underestimate what they can do. But you're right. I mean, that's a throw-in, right? That was a thing to get it done. The biggest thing, I think the biggest thing driving it was – I think the Panthers looked at it and said, our offense can be better schematically without him. He is a guy who's battled being overweight, and he will into the future. That's not going to get easier for a guy as he gets older. Mm-hmm. So do we want to give somebody $10 million on a 5-year contract, knowing that's only going to get worse? He's got problems with his knees, and a third round pick for, I mean, let's face it. He was a very end of the first round, and we were surprised when we took him. I mean, he was a second round talent. That was the projection. So 4 years later on a bad knee with weight problems and $8 million on the contract for next year, I think it's probably about a fair deal. It's probably as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, I think it's kind of solid. I do think it would be nice to get something. Joey and I both immediately when we said, yeah, who did you get? And we said, did we get Shady?
I was like, the boys are drinking early. The boys are drinking early.
a girl can dream, can't she? Is that all right? Now, well, first, here we should. We just jumped right into the show. We're 25 minutes in now because this was such important news to us. I'm sure we'll be talking about it more before the show's over. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast. As you're watching right now, go ahead and smash that thumbs up button on YouTube. If you're first time here, go ahead and subscribe and make sure you tap the little bell so you get a notification of when we come on live. And on Facebook, Periscope, thank you for tuning in to the show. We would like for you also to give us a share and to let us know what you think about what is going on. I'm trying to, a ton of viewers and a lot of people chiming in, but as always, we're featuring the YouTube chat. So if you want to make sure your chat gets featured on the show, jump on over to YouTube. Thank you. Give us a share. That's it. All right. We go on the road. Tonight's show, I didn't even mention what the name of the show is. And tonight's show is Panthers Fighting for Division Under Blood Moon. And that is because that's my little homage to
Happy Halloween. Leave now while you still can.
Leave now before Master finds you.
All right, it's our Halloween episode, and that's what the Blood Moon is referring to. And tonight, guys, we went on the road. We took on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two teams that were searching for, that were in need of a win. Tampa Bay had dropped three with all of the expectations surrounding that team going into the season. That always seemed to surround the Bucs. They are the easy team that people like to think is going to be good, and I promise you folks, they will not be good until they are. So don't believe in it until you see it. I'm not putting any money on it or putting my 2 cents behind it ever until it actually happens. Then
they always win the off season, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, they are. If the Super Bowl was in April.
I remember you were like, man, they got DeSean Jackson. Woo. Right?
They had a good draft. They had a good draft, and it just they've not been able to put things together. But they were a wounded animal in the corner with their backs to the wall, fighting for a needed win to potentially save their season, and they did not get it. The Panthers, coming off of two losses where they did not score an offensive touchdown and lost to the Bears, who only threw 7 passes in that game and did not score an offensive touchdown. We also needed a win and to save some face. And so we go on the road, and it's tough anytime you go on the road to a divisional opponent, and we beat them 17-3. The defense, guys, was the story of this game. Cam Newton was mediocre. All right, let's talk about the defense. They should get the props first. They shut down
the
Tampa Bay offense completely.
It really did. Some of that was thanks to Jameis Winston. Let's face it, he missed.
He had a bad game. He was off. He's injured as well. He's got a hurt shoulder, and he did not play well. But the defense, they got it done. I think, too, like you said, or one important thing that we saw is they had 3 turnovers in this game. And you got to credit a lot of this to you bring back Luke Kuechly and Kurt Coleman. They seem to inject a lot of life, a lot of smartness to the defense. You didn't see any a real big mistakes, except for maybe Kevon Seymour got burned one time, I think. Other than that,
Bradbury got beat that one time, but they missed the pass. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. The defense played pretty tight. We should give a shout out to Julius Peppers, the coolest man, the greatest man in the universe. And he records his 151st sack, which makes him fourth all time in the sack leadership, like all time sacks. He's going to get third, dude. I'm telling you. So, he might do it this season.
So, who is the greatest Panther of all time to this point? Steve Smith or Julius Peppers?
Oh, I don't know. I think Steve Smith's three.
Really?
I think it goes Julius Peppers, Cam Newton, Steve Smith.
Wow. I don't know about that, man.
I don't agree with that either.
All right. Well, what do you say, Joey?
Steve Smith, Julius Peppers.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Who had more of an impact on that Panthers team than Steve Smith when he was around?
All right.
Steve Smith was the heart and soul.
Yeah, what team was good that that the Panthers were on that Julius Peppers wasn't?
The 2015 Super Bowl team?
Yeah, was Steve Smith on that one?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying the impact he had on the offense was, I think, more dominant than the impact Peppers had. Not saying Peppers didn't have an impact on the defense. Not saying that. I just think Steve Smith on the offense was more impactful.
Well, isn't that a lot easier when you're a wide receiver? Isn't it easier to be great when you are a quarterback than it is if you're a cornerback? You know, like, I mean, if you think about it.
Deion Sanders just spit his coffee out, man. No, I hear you, man. And honestly, the way I rank it, I got 1 and 1A with Peppers. I think they are both just, I mean, they're neck and neck. But to me, I give the sentimentality pick to Peppers because, let's face it, Steve Smith is still a little salty with us. And Julius Peppers turned around.
You thought Julius Peppers left on bad terms.
Right. You know, and he came back to us. So, you know, full circle. So, I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd take Julius Peppers.
Did you see Steve Smith try to fight Michael Irvin on TV?
No.
He said that he was going to come and kick Michael Irvin's ass next time he saw him because Michael Irvin was making fun of his suit pants on television. And he was on a remote. So, like, they were not in the same studio. And like Steve Smith was serious. He's like, next time I see you, I'm gonna beat your ass. That's what he said. He said it twice, dude. Right on NFL.com, right on NFL Network. I'm gonna beat your ass.
Napoleonic complex, man.
Gosh, I mean,
I believe he can do it,
dude. He will do it. For me, it's Julius Peppers. I understand what you're saying is that a guy who had all of his great career as a Panther, which is Steve Smith, I know he had this 2 years as a Raven that were good. I think this is that if Steve Smith maybe would have had a quarterback in those years that, you know, he was on the shelf for 3 years of his career, we really did him a disservice. I think Peppers, though, the overall his career, though, has to catapult him. And he's on a different plane than, like, what anybody has been. And I got to say this is I think Cam has already surpassed Steve because he's got an MVP, man. And that's huge.
That is huge. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean
offensive rookie of the year, you know, all of these records. I mean, I just think when it comes to the accomplishment of their careers, I think Cam Newton's already more accomplished than Steve Smith. So,
debatable.
I get what you guys are saying, though.
I don't think right now. I mean, Cam is up there in the top, definitely in the top five, probably top three. But and it's possible he may move to number one by the time he's done, but I don't think you can give him that title just yet.
I'm with you.
The people in YouTube are on me about the Peppers thing because they're bringing up that Peppers was not here during prime time, his prime of his career.
Slim J 513 says Steve Smith's going to have to wait to get into the Hall of Fame. Julius Peppers, there'll be no waiting.
Steve Smith may have to wait, but that's because people just don't realize how good he was. He was kind of muddled in obscurity here in Carolina.
I always said if you took the heart and the fight of Steve Smith and put it into the body and the gifts of Julius Peppers, you would have had the greatest NFL player of all time.
I can't
crap, man. I'm telling you guys, that's been so overrated.
That's the truth.
That Peppers does not play with heart. He's got a different style.
He does not. He did not then, man.
He's got a different style of play, dude.
There were times when teams ran straight at Peppers because he was not putting his body in there to tackle. Now, at this point in his career, boy, he is blowing up offensive lines, and he is getting back and making the tackles in the backfield.
There's no way a guy that gets 151 sacks in his career is, like, not playing with heart. That he's still 37 years old and playing. All right, let's get back to this Tampa game. This is yeah. Julius Peppers is the greatest human ever to live, followed by Cam Newton. And then Steve Smith can beat my ass for saying it, and I will say it was the greatest ass beating I ever had. Yeah.
Rick James has it right. If you were to put Smitty's heart in KB, you would have the ultimate wide receiver.
No doubt. No doubt. Great point. Yep.
I tell you one thing is Steve Smith would never dress up like a hippie like Benjamin did for Halloween. No, you see him in his like hippie outfit? Looked like a dang softy pants. Like
a lot of folks will say that about Cam too now. You gotta be careful where you tread there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, but I guess I'm not down on hippies anymore. I was when I was 16 and listened to the Grateful Dead. But all right. So we go out and we stomp the Bucks. Cam Newton, though, speaking of the second greatest Panther ever, Cam Newton did not have a good game.
He did not.
And
he's had worse games. I mean, he did do some good things.
He was not bad. He was not bad. He just wasn't good.
You know what? The part that hurt me watching the game was that first few drives. Man, we were doing well. You know, we were doing those. It was like a 10-yard pass right over the middle where the linebackers were, and we were moving the chains very well. But as we got further into the game, third and four, third and five, that same pass was open, but Cam decided he wanted to go 40 yards down the field and go for the knockout punch like four different times. And he was 0 for 4 instead of moving the chains and putting the game away.
That's the best comment in YouTube. Put Smitty's heart in KB's body, and the DBs and rest would have to carry weapons.
Exactly right.
You guys remember? Awesome. Do you remember the beginning to last Boy Scout? Everybody needs to go and watch the last Boy Scout. And it is an old Bruce Willis movie with Damon Wayans.
Yeah, I love Damon, the movie.
And in the very beginning, this dude who is a wide receiver and who's like, I guess, indebted to like this crooked gambling.
Oh, he pulls
thing.
The gun. He pulls the gun out of on
he's
the
like,
field.
Like
yeah.
doing crack. He's like doing coke in the locker room, and then he comes out there and he gets a call, and he run. And they're like, you cannot lose this game for us, and he brings like a 9mm out onto the field and is like running with the football and just starts popping cap and like taking
running downfield with the football.
Yeah,
that's an awesome scene.
And then he blows it. It's crazy. By the way, good movie though. Good throwback
good
reference. I like an old Bruce Willis movie, and it you know what, a movie doesn't have to be great to be good. All right. So
sounds like John Fox there.
Yeah, exactly. That is a Foxium. That's a Foxium. So I think that what did you see out of the offense that my man, you would not believe how hard I cheered for a irrelevant run in the whole scheme of everything.
Right.
Like Cap gets his first carry and pops off an 11-yard run. Looks like he was shot out of a cannon, folks.
That's exactly right, man. I mean, Stewart does not have that burst anymore.
No.
And he changed things around. Once that happened,
he played harder. Did he not play harder after that?
Yes, he did. Unbelievable. That was a turning point in the game. Actually,
I thought Cap looked good, man. And I know that people are going to point to the stat line and say he had 4 carries for 8 yards. Well, yes, he did. He got blown the hell up, though, for a 6-yard loss. Tackled in a handoff out of the shotgun where him and Cam got tackled together.
Right.
So, like, that's really not on him. He did have a no gainer that was, I think, towards the goal line, which nobody would have, you know, he actually tried to put a second effort into a lot of things. I thought he ran with power. I think we saw the one thing. This is what Jonathan Stewart has not been doing this year, is when he sees the hole, he looks for contact. Like he tries to initiate contact, saying, all right, I'm going to get hit. Let me get one or two more after the hit, instead of looking to hit the hole and blast past. And Cap saw that hole and went, boom, went.
He did. Absolutely. I mean, you and I both were we were texting each other right during that play. It's like, man, that's what we've been waiting for.
I wanted to go back. In fact, I know who they are. And I was waiting. I was like, I'm going to wait till Cap gets in there and does some more. But there's some people that kept telling me when I've been saying that Cameron Artis Payne, that we got to give him a shot at least, or at least just give him a little bit of action. They kept telling me that they had not seen anything out of him that warranted that. And, I mean, I was going back and forth, and these people are kind of tape Nazis, you know what I'm saying? Like, they look at they'll be like, so they think they know everything about football.
Go to the tape.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, they were like, watch the games. I was like, dude, I watch every freaking game, man. I know. Like, yeah, I don't record the tape and I don't know the name of the plays and all that all the time. But I watch the damn games. I know what I see. And I see a guy that every time he's gotten the ball has not been bad. And I am going.
He was the best player in the preseason.
I've screenshotted that mess, dude. It's coming back. Mm-hmm. When you see Cameron Artis Payne pop off 125 yards this season, I'm going to be flying them retweets out. All right. Go ahead.
It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, a part of me wonders if they were putting Cap in there to see if they could make it a two-back team with Stewart and Cap and move McCaffrey out to wide receiver.
What'd you think about McCaffrey? He sets a record for the Panther rookie, the most catches from a running back as a Carolina Panther. He surpasses Jonathan Stewart with 49. He is on pace for somewhere in the high 90s, I believe, and also on pace to beat Reggie Bush's rookie running back reception record of 88 catches. Where do you guys feel about McCaffrey at this point?
You want to, Joe?
Yeah. I am satisfied with what we have seen from him thus far. I wish the offensive line was blocking better to allow him to showcase his running ability a bit more. But he is more slight of build, more lean than some of the guys we have back there, and he's not able to, move the pile, so to speak, on his own. So we haven't seen him really be effective in the run game, but he more than makes up for it, I think, in the passing game. He is a legitimate weapon on the perimeter as a receiver. Mm-hmm. And we really haven't used him to his full potential even there yet. So I'm satisfied. I think the best is still to come with this kid.
That's right. I think you got to give him a little bit of time, right? I mean, there are a lot of people out there to say, well, he was the eighth pick, and with the eighth pick, you got to have a game changer. And, well, guess what? He has changed the game. The opponents have to account for him on every play. Mm-hmm. Even though he hasn't been making the big plays. The
attempt. All right, let's not make that argument.
That's true. It is very true.
That's guys like have the same that, you know, Ron Rivera said this the other day. I thought this was the silliest shit I had heard ever, is that they wanted to make Kellen Klay active so that the Bucks had to prepare for him. And I was like, what in the world does that even mean? The dude can't even barely make a 53-man roster, and your ass is acting like they're gonna game plan for you.
Hey, so, he was pretty good on the punt return. I'll give him that.
I told you he was gonna come back for the punts. All right, so McCaffrey has his impact has been as a ghost.
He's been a decoy. He's been a threat, and he's made some plays. A good check down option that we've never had before. You haven't had that receiver threat out of the backfield. You just haven't. So.
While you still can.
I take that as you disagree.
Now before Master finds you.
No, I'm not upset. I think this is that, do I want him to be better? Sure. Do I want him to have like blown up? Sure. Do I think that he has played particularly well yet? No, not really.
But
I think he's done some cool things. I think
he's
made. No, not at all. I think here is that, and I'm going to go back to this, is that it's kind of a silly conversation to have, I think, at this point.
8 games in. I agree.
And
yeah, you're trying to evaluate a guy on 8 games where he missed most of training camp or a good bit of, was it rookie camp? Anyway, you know, he's only 8 games into a career.
Right.
I think, too, the argument that they're going to have, too, where I think it's even a little bit like less, you know, productive of a discussion, where you hear people go, oh, I don't think he's a bad player, but I don't think he's a number 8.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, it's, to me, I've always felt like this with contracts. Like, everybody went crazy with the Matt Khalil contract, and they're like, he's not a 55. Well, what's the number? You know, is it 38? Is he a 38? Does he add to the team? And, what I do think there are some arguments to be made that there were some other picks that could have added more. I think that's a better line to take
than to say
he's not an 8 pick. You know what I'm saying? And I think those are two slightly different discussions. Is to say this is, we could have had Lattimore. Is that Lattimore at this point looks like he would have been an awesome addition to a team. He's doing great for the Saints. And that's not a knock on McCaffrey as much as it is a clap for Lattimore. I do think I wanted to see I'm tired of seeing Christian McCaffrey dance though. Like, and somebody, I was listening to, I think it was the Blue Goose podcast, and they were talking about that Christian McCaffrey is seeing ghosts at this point. And, they acted like, I'm not as familiar with the terminology as they are, but like when you get to the point where he's lacking confidence now, where he's seeing things, it's almost in his head. There was a play where he just tap danced instead of just running to the outside and getting like 8 yards in that game.
There was, but there was also, and I think I texted you during the play, there was a play where he caught the ball on like a 3rd and 8. He caught it 4 yards out.
Great play.
He did one step and boom, exploded past the defender and made the first down. So, you know, it's about consistency. You got to give the guy time. You know, he's a baller. His heart is good. He's a hard worker. He's a good kid, and he's got a lot of talent. It's going to take a little bit of time, and it's not all on him, right? Does Cam know how to use him? Does Shula know how to use him yet, right? Give him time. I think they'll get there.
I mean, they better. I mean, at this point, all they do is use him. Slim says this, Alvin Kamara in the 3rd and Jonathan Allen in the 8th, at 8th overall. I would say this, Derek Barnett, too, another one right there. I think too, what the problem with McCaffrey is not him, is that I think it's that our second and third round picks haven't done shit.
Yeah.
So it goes like this. We feel like we had a one pick draft.
Right.
And speaking of one pick drafts, you look at the 2014 draft now with KB gone. Trey Turner is the only one remaining.
I'm telling you, I was in Gettleman We Trust, but is that when, as things keep going, there's been a lot of questions about his drafts.
Mm-hmm. Seems all that.
That the absolute
is falling apart.
Yeah. The absolute linchpins to this team, the two players that make the real difference in this team is Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly, and they're both Marty Herney guys.
I tell you one thing is that if we keep Marty Herney, I want to keep him just through the first round of the 2018 draft.
And then fire him and bring me in.
For the second
round. Right, I'll pick it up. I'll handle it. I'll handle it from there. Marty, you take us through round one. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, Marty don't miss in first round, dude.
No, he doesn't.
That mug, and you know, and I know everybody keeps saying that is not that hard to do.
Oh, that, yes, it is. Ask the Cleveland Browns.
Ask the Dallas Cowboys with our boy Claiborne.
Ask Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's.
Yeah, we got him. We got damn Matt Khalil now. ask us. We'll tell you how that panned out for them. I do think they always hit on first, man.
Yeah, and you talk about number eights or slam dunks. Minnesota Vikings, I can't remember the guy's name, but they took their quarterback like 5-6 years ago. What was it?
It was the dude that started with a P, wasn't it? Pender?
I can't remember. He's no longer in the league, though. He's been gone for a minute, man. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so.
Jake Locker.
No, that's not it.
No, he was Tennessee.
It was a Pinder, dude. It was somebody Pinter or something. It was something with a P. Pretty sure. All right, let's keep talking about this game quickly. The Bucs did not have a great game though. They're offensively, they didn't have a good game. Jameis was off. Ponder. It was Christian Ponder.
Yes. Exactly.
Terrible.
Right.
How many, you know, is that I would say I would be careful. I would be careful drafting a quarterback in the first round unless you know that dude is like transformational.
Unless you draft Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And you know what? He is transformational, dude. That dude is like, I think that Teddy Bridgewater is like, I mean, those guys just ball despite what everybody says. Deshaun Watson is having a hell of a year. He better slow up. That's all I got to say.
He's setting the bar too high.
He is getting too good, and I don't want to be going, man, this guy is going to be better than Cam one day. I don't want to say that ever. All right. Defense got turnovers. Luke Kuechly's back. Did we miss anything else? What do you think about Steve Wilks blitzing a lot?
Aggressive. I like it, dude.
Did you? I saw that Jeremy Igo put out a tweet that he says he guarantees that Wilks will be a head coach next year.
Well, didn't you and I talk about that right after that one press conference we saw of him? He commands presence. He is somebody you want to run through a wall for. I could see it. Now, you look at how good McDermott is doing, and then you see that Wilks is improving upon what McDermott had done. So, yeah, I would not be surprised in the least bit if he's in Indianapolis next year, as an example, if Harbaugh's not there.
Joe, you got anything else you want to talk about with this game?
No, nothing in particular. I think that, same as everybody, defense played awesome. Offense did just enough. We have yet to really see our offense
click
and dominate. Right.
Well, we haven't had anything. I guess the New England game is the only time we've had a lot of things go well where we had a running game, a passing game,
right?
Pass protection. At some point, it's been something.
Man, we got to get some kind of a running game because it's gonna really hurt us in the long run as far as this season goes. If we can't, I'm not saying it's got to be 150 yards a game, but we got to do better.
It will really catch up to us, especially in the playoffs, if we can't do it. That's why I was hoping when I saw that KB was traded, when you sent that to us, Joe. You guys have mentioned Shady McCoy. I was hoping Cordy Glenn.
Was he like a guard or like a tackle?
I mean, that's and there was rumors about them shopping him, and he's a big old Georgia boy.
Very cool with that.
We could have used the center. you know,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I think that as we got to put things together. And look, is Cap might be the answer for this, guys. He had a 7-yard run that was pulled back on an offensive holding call as well. Mm-hmm. He really looked like he brought something to the table.
He looked like he belonged. He did.
Yeah, he did. Really did. And I like that. And he's playing for a contract, dude. That dude's going to be playing hard because
he's playing for a roster spot, you know? I mean, he's working his butt off. And he's hungry.
Yeah.
I like it.
So next week, all right, guys, again, thank you for tuning into the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast. We still have a lot to go in the show. We've got to do the cat calls. The line number is 252-228-5098. We ask you to follow us on Twitter @cat_chronicles. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button. The same on Facebook and Periscope. Give us a retweet. Help grow Panther Nation along with this and support indie content. We've been bringing you this podcast for going on, I think we're in our 5th year, guys. We have been building a strong audience, but more than an audience, a community of discussion where we are texting and talking with each other on Twitter, on YouTube, through email about these things as soon as it happens. I can't tell you how many people have emailed or messaged me today about what went down with the KB stuff. So you know what? We're just here hanging out with you guys, and we appreciate every single one of you. Guys, we're fixing to play the Atlanta Falcons next week, our second divisional game, consecutive divisional game, our third total divisional game. We've lost to the Saints. We're a half game behind the Saints right now. We're a half game ahead of our opponents, the Atlanta Falcons. I think they came out, and we were favored against the Falcons by.
I'd rather be underdog, man.
I think it was 2.5. I think it was 2.5-point favorites, maybe 4. That we are favored now. The Falcons have had their share of struggles this year, and they've had some close wins. They should have lost to Detroit. They should have
lost to Chicago.
Should have lost to Chicago, and there's an argument that they should have lost to the Jets. Were gave them a run. In fact, they were right in there the whole time. They've had some difficulties. This is a team that is beatable, that is suffering some of the syndrome that we suffered from last year, and that is the Super Bowl hangover curse or whatever it may be. But I don't think this team is bad, guys. I think this is going to be a tough game. Mel, what are you going to be looking for as we head to as we host the Falcons?
Well, I'm going to be looking for two things. One, I'm going to be seeing how do we handle Julio Jones because
Torched us last year, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if Sarkisian
like the greatest game in the history of football, potentially by a wide receiver.
Yeah, so if I'm the Atlanta Falcons head coach, I'm like, hey, we're running those same plays. Screw you. We're going to make them stop us, right? If Gase is worth anything, that's what he's doing. So we got to stop Julio Jones first and foremost. Then they got a lot of weapons. I mean, they got their two running backs.
Sanu.
Their two running backs, and don't sleep on Hooper, who I wanted to get a few years ago, right? I mean, there's just they got a lot of talent there. We're going to have to get a lot of pressure. And then the second thing I'm looking for is how does Cam react to losing his dog? You know, I mean, I'll never forget last year after that first game. When Kevin Benjamin had a big game, he said, hey, I got my dog back. And they've got a bond. They've been
friends. They're buddies. They're buddies.
Yeah. So is Cam going to come out? Is he going to pout? Is he going to be down? Is he going to be upset? we're going to get, remember how it used to be, are we getting good Jake or bad Jake? It's almost getting to the point where, are we getting good Cam or bad Cam? So I'm looking for good Cam if we're going to win.
Yeah. Blue Bijou says Steve Wilkes is defensive coordinator and no Shanahan makes a big difference for this Panthers team.
That's
Slim
a good point.
Says, keep in mind, Mel, Falcons have a new OC that sucks as much as Shula. Yeah. And Shaqued says, James Bradbury. One word, actually, one person, two words. Creative
moments.
I don't
know about you. I don't know about you, but I do not want to see Bradbury one-on-one with Julio.
Lynn says, I suspect our defense will be winning the game. I think here is the thing is that, sure, you don't want to see James Bradbury one-on-one with Julio, but you know what's better than that's better than Bene Benwickery one-on-one with Julio, which I still think Bene. That they left him out to dry. I think that was unfair. I think that was totally unfair.
He was a very productive player for us until that game, and then it was like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Never to be heard from again.
Done. I mean, just off. Just get off. Oh, we didn't even mention this. One thing we didn't mention about that damn Tampa Bay game and all the fiasco.
Oh, did you hear about your girl?
Who?
Miko? Miko Grimes?
What did she
tweeting
do?
She tweeted out and was calling out Cam, talking about how he's an easy interception.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. I tweeted her. Yeah. I told her. I said, this is coming from a Miko Grimes fan. F you. I told her that. And I said, I'm a Miko Grimes fan, but it turns out I'm a bigger Cam fan. I also asked her if this is a serious question. Serious, like a no lie. She put out there later on. This is a couple of days later. Tweet me any questions about the go on live to the I Heart Miko podcast, which I have not listened to yet. My questions were, I gave her two. Will you come on the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast before the Tampa Bay game? And number two was, if you were not married to Brent Grimes, would you get down with a white boy?
And she would cry or respond.
She would say F you, because no, she wouldn't, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I just like having fun. What a voice on Mika there, but what a nasty biatch she can be. But all right, back to this. What I was going to say is this, Robert Aguayu and the whole fiasco that was that kicker mess.
Mm.
Graham Gano with the flu, supposedly. Come on.
And then we signed, unbelievable.
It was so weird. And then the idea that Bill Foth had the nerve. And I'm sorry, Bill. I'm not trying to be mean. But he said this. He tried to say to he tweeted this out. He was like, think about this, guys. If he could really turn around his career, what a move this would be.
Wow.
And I was just like, I'm sorry, bro. This dude can't turn it around. He cannot, like, no, don't try to put forward to me that you can grab a second round pick off a practice squad, whatever. No.
I'm with you on that, man. I have this feeling in my gut, we're going to get hot, we're going to go on a run, we're going to be in the Super Bowl, and we're going to come down to a kick from Harrison Butker as to whether we win or not. Just got that feeling, man.
What happened on Monday night where everybody was going crazy? I went to bed. Wasn't it Monday night? Sunday night. Where, like, Kansas City, I felt like Butker must have been making everything. Because, like, all of Twitter was like, Butker for the Hall of Fame.
I don't understand how you let him go and you keep a guy who is as old as Gano is, who's in the last year of his contract. You got to have an eye to the future, man. I don't understand that. DG was doing – that's the way DG was going, and that's the way Marty went. I don't get it from either one of them.
Makes no sense. We're kicking ourselves in the butt curve for this.
Joe brought up a good point. I think you said over the weekend that was really probably a Ron Rivera decision over anybody else's.
Mm. All right, Joe.
A wrong decision to what?
about keeping Gano as the kicker.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because now he hates him.
Right. Now he wishes he wouldn't have.
Right.
All right, Joe, we're playing the Falcons. We're a half game behind the Saints. The Saints have won 5 games in a row, dude.
Unbelievable.
Jerks. How, Joe, do we beat this Atlanta team? We have not played well at home. We play better on the road. Atlanta have been struggling to put things together, but they've got, like Mel said, a lot of talent. How do we get after them? And does anybody in the chat room know about what Vic Beasley's status is, why Joe breaks down what he thinks we got to do to beat this Falcons team?
Well, I think the first thing we want to do is have a significantly higher amount of time of possession. I think we want to win the time of possession battle.
And keep their offense off the field.
Right. Leave the offense on the sideline. Exactly. Which usually means you got to have a running game. So, first thing first, we have to have better offensive line play. Okay, that's probably a given. We have to have better offensive.
Trey Turner hurt, left that game, injured again. Did you see that? Did you guys see what Joe Person said about that?
No,
that it wasn't injury related. I saw that.
Yeah, that they brought in Amelie Sealatulu to replace Trey Turner because Trey Turner wasn't playing well. Now, I know one thing. He has not played like the Trey Turner of last year and the year before this year. But
you hate to think that's a big money.
Yeah, you hate to think that.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a pretty smart dude. I mean, I think that he does look a little heavier than
He's been playing with a knee injury.
Yeah. I tell you one thing is this, is I don't care if he's taking a nap out there. He's going to be better than Amelie Sealatulu.
Where is Moten? Right? I mean, that's...
I can't believe he's so bad that they don't even want to put him out there just to see. I thought I did see him in the game, though.
He played some.
He played guard in the preseason. He was actually the top-rated guard by Pro Football Focus in the preseason.
He's been in these jumbo packages.
So at least give him a chance.
I think it was in the game against the Bears, where Manhurts blocked Moten. like he didn't know what he was doing. He just like pushed him. He like knocked Moten down. Like, isn't that messed up when you block your own teammate? All right, but we gotta win the possession battle, like Joe's saying. I think we've got to fluster Matt Ryan when he's out there. Matt Ryan, he's a good football player, but he can be
rattled. He can get rattled.
What was it? 2015? It was 1 year we sacked him 6 times, and that was the difference in the game. If we do that,
it was the year before, and Greg Hardy had like 4
maybe,
though.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean that's the type of day we got to have. Because if we don't pressure him, he is too good. He will pick us apart. I don't like him. I hate him, but he's good.
We got to get some pressure on this team. We got to get some defensive pressure, like we're saying on this, because our secondary will struggle against if you give Sanu, Hardy, Julio, Gabriel, all these dudes, all of that time. They can't have a lot of time. There's too many weapons. So we have to get after Matt Ryan.
Have to. Peppers needs to be drinking a lot of Gatorade this week. Just give him a couple vet days.
Yeah. I mean, less Charles Johnson, more Julius Peppers.
Why is Charles Johnson still starting? What has he done? I mean, come on. Joe? I don't understand. I have no idea.
Joe says no.
He really hasn't done much this year, has he?
Nothing. He's got like one tackle.
I would rather start Wes Horton.
I have to agree with you there.
Wes Horton is a great run edge setter. You're not going to run against Wes Horton. Charles Johnson, I don't know what he does.
I agree. We've got to be careful that our line played good against Tampa Bay, And I know, but again, it always comes down to peppers and short.
It really does.
You know, is that all pressure is generated by those two guys. A little bit from Addison sometimes. I didn't see a ton of Star. We're going to need to see Star and Butler start to – we need to hear their names more. Because
but I did see something from Bill Voth where he said that Addison has 13 sacks in the last 14 games.
That's that was shocking. Crap.
That's what he said. Yeah.
I'm looking that up. All right. So anything else that you guys are interested in looking at in this game? There's a ton of people, by the way, watching on YouTube right now. We appreciate that. A large audience. Well, I'm going to encourage everybody who is watching at this moment, smash that thumbs up button. Give us a like. I know that you guys that just pushing that little thumbs up button. Do it.
Yeah.
It helps a ton. And consider sharing the broadcast on social media. Drop it in a Panthers group. Say that you like to listen to this podcast. If you're listening later on iTunes, Stitcher, we appreciate it. Send us an email at CarolinaCatChronicles.com. And be sure to call into the Cat Calls line, which we're about to feature those calls in just a moment, at 252-228-5098. All right, Joe, any last points on that game going forward?
No, I do want to make a point, though. Jerome Miner says, I believe the offense will look close to 2015 Sunday, spreading the ball around and creative in the run game with Cam and the running backs. So he seems to think we're going to show up Sunday.
If that happens, this trade will look brilliant.
Addition by subtraction. I know.
If we go out there and we get clobbered and we score 3 points and Cam has 5 turnovers or something stupid like that, then this would look like the worst trade in history.
I tell you one thing. I don't know who this goes to, if this is on KB who, but I was always pissed. That why didn't we run the fade to the pylon with him when we were in the red zone? Like, I feel like we always try to pass it like into the middle when we're in the red zone. And you have these two giant receivers. Why don't you say run to the pylon? I'm going to throw it high.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that slant pass against the Bears, that second pick six. It was that slant that hit him right in the hands, went up in the air, and boom, down the sideline. But – yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't think he was used to his best. So maybe this is for the best. I'm starting to warm up to it. I still don't like the idea of subtracting midseason instead of reloading.
Especially when nobody was really better than him. You know what I'm saying? That's right. I think, and that's where your point comes down to, is that like we're not. You don't even got to say Kelvin Benjamin was great. It's right. Just nobody out there was better than him. Funchess may be close to him, right, but not better at this point.
Right.
Right. Funchess does have a higher ceiling, though. I would say that. But Kelvin Benjamin has accomplished a lot. All right, so let's see. We've gone through the Falcons. You know what? Let's jump into these cat calls, guys. This is the best part of the show right here, where we feature Panther calls. You can call the hotline 24/7 all day long and leave a voicemail up to 3 minutes long, I believe, is the limit, where we will feature your thoughts and opinions on the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast, and we want to help you have your voice heard and to further this discussion. So be sure to call in before the game, after the game, leading up to the game, all of these different ways, and let us know, because those reactions are the best. Let's go ahead and jump into these.
So what are your thoughts on catcalling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think catcalling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like... Who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his notebook? Who's that kid that can use one?
Professor Mel Mayock, freaking Puerto Rican. It's Cody Lashney from the YouTube chat once more. And I just want to say real quick, I feel like how the professor felt when we didn't go after TJ Ward. We're missing an opportunity right now to get better. I'm calling when there's still about an hour out from the trade deadline. And T.Y. Hilton is available. Jarvis Landry is available. And yet, nah, we're just going to pass on them. We have so many people we have to pay next year. And I think we have a championship level defense this year. And I think we're going to waste that. And it's just frustrating. It really is frustrating. Especially when I see other teams like the Seahawks and the Eagles, and they're making these moves to win a Super Bowl this year. And I just feel like we should be doing the same thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Hopefully, by the time you put up the podcast, I'll be dead wrong. But sadly,
little did he know. Little did he know at the time.
But anyway, love you guys. Love the show. Keep pounding.
Yeah, you're right, Mel. As little did Cody know that not only would we not go and try to get better, the argument that we had all night was, did we get worse? All right, let's keep going.
What's up, Panther Nation? This is Panther Nasty, man. I'm happy to be 5-3, but we are lucky to be 5-3 with no run game. I mean, I don't know what happened to our interior O-line, but if this situation ever gets fixed, and it's week 9 now after this game against the Buccaneers, if it gets fixed, this team will be extremely difficult to beat. And we're still waiting on Curtis Samuel to be that deep threat, to be that player that Ted Ginn was in that kind of capacity.
Hey, great Paul, points. or whoever the hell this is, I understand that this is going to be the Panthers hotline. I just want to say one thing. Just, I mean, fire the clown show, Mike Shula. Ruined Cam Newton, the greatest athlete to ever step on the planet. Okay, Mike Shula sucks, and that's it. Hope I'm making on time.
Love it.
First of all, my name's not Paul. My name is Tony. But appreciate your call. Even better though, you can call me Paul all day long, as long
just
as you say. Yeah, just call me. A and B, I love hearing that. You know what makes my ears just sings to my ears is Cam Newton's the greatest athlete ever on the planet. That sounds like something this guy would say. Well done. Yeah, good call. Here we go. Let's keep pounding.
Oh, girl scout.
Woo, doggy.
Oh. Hold up, we gotta hear the end of his call. I forgot that.
Mike Shula sucks, and that's it. Hope I make it on the podcast. Peace out, Girl Scout.
Woo, doggy. That's called the flippity flop.
That was the flippity flop. Nobody gave me any props tonight for my little improv video.
If you haven't seen it, folks, go check it out. You know, it really was well done. I don't know how you went through that whole thing straight.
Oh, you mean the Cam video?
Yeah, the Cam Newton video. Oh, nobody said this. Is everybody, how about this, those cats in the chat right now, is like, where are y'all at with the props on that video? Because I want to tell you this, is not one person said anything about my double watch and all the bracelets that I had going on. Adzilla 8 said, he said I mentioned it. That is like, I thought when I came up with the idea for the, by the way, you can find this on CarolineCatChronicles.com or on our YouTube page, and that is the Cam Newton press conference reenactment. And I thought that it was going to be corny when I started doing it, and maybe slightly corny when I did it. But even at the end, look, Adzilla H said this, I love the rosary. Yes, yeah, he saw it.
He mentioned it.
But yes. You know, Tony, you need to do another press conference before they have one, predicting how Cam is going to react when Joe Person, a.k.a. Darth Vader, asks him about Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, gosh. I know. It was funny. The rosary. I was going through my kids' like bracelets trying to find stuff. Anyway, all right. But that last call was the flippity floppity. Somebody left a call talking about that. All right, here we go.
What's up, C3 Podcast and Panthers Nation? What the f***? So are we packing in for this season? And if we are, I want to see D at quarterback. We don't need to risk Cam getting all beaten up and coming off of surgery again if we can avoid that. Luke Kuechly, sorry, you're done, son. Can't risk you getting another concussion in some meaningless game. Greg Olsen, don't rush back. Ryan Khalil, I don't know if you're coming back, but dude, take it easy. You know who I really feel most sorry for, though? It's Julius Peppers. That man's a beast. He's been playing so well this season. He didn't come back to play for some rebuilding team. He didn't come back to a team that he thought needed any major rebuilding.
This offense has no identity, and then we trade Kelvin Benjamin away. I don't know what's going on. I'm interested to see what you guys have to say about it, because I'm just shaking my head. Keep pounding Panther Nation, Jada Bout.
I like that one guy that just ended his call with the F-bomb. Like, that was the last part out. Just F. All right. Here, we got a couple calls right before we got on. So, here, we're taking a risk playing them.
What's up, Carolina Cat Chronicles? Really real in the chat. Making my first appearance on the call line, but I had to after the recent trade to get some off my chest. I'm probably not going to be doing what you think I am. I'm actually going to thank Marty Herney for making this deal. This is a deal that we had to make. Having Kelvin Benjamin and Funch on the field at the same time has just been a hindrance to the offense. We need more speed and more versatility on the field. So looking at the trade, we send KB and get back a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick, but we also get almost $9 million in cap next season. But what I'm most like about this trade is this puts pressure on the coaching staff, specifically Mike Shula. No longer are we going to have to call for the 10-yard slant to Kelvin Benjamin, which he, most of the time he doesn't even be the defender. Now he's going to have to use some creativity, and he's going to have to put these guys like Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel on the field and in positions to win. If we do that, that we'll see. I think that this trade is more reflection on our coaching staff and their ability to try to get more weapons on the field, and we'll see what happens as we go down the stretch. Thanks, guys.
Man, what a fantastic call. What a great first call that was.
Yeah, and luckily nothing from that Falcon guy. Jeez.
I think that's a great perspective. I really do. Talking about the coaches, putting pressure on the coaches, and
that was great.
Marty Herney to, you know, really step his name up.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be so obvious how ineffective he is as a coach. Yep. So, yeah, I think that's a great perspective. Something I hadn't thought about.
All right, 25332 says Peppers is in the Bible.
Okay. All right, here we go. We got another call that came in right before the show started.
This is Lynn Sheldon. I live down here in LaGrange, Georgia. I've been watching Cam Newton ever since he played for Florida and Auburn, and it's not Cam that's the problem. The problem is Cam and Benjamin, the football team members. They're not stepping up doing their job. They're making a lot of mistakes. The coaching staff, the Ron Rivera thing. The general manager, all of them is all over Cam, and it's not his fault. They're all over Cam because of what happened about that Rodriguez bitch that we all don't like, and we know it set him up, and about what happened with that Super Bowl, went to the Super Bowl last year. That's what they all over Cam about. Cam is a good quarterback. It's not Cam. It's his teammates, and that Calvin Benjamin is a problem. He needs to be let go. Because I've been watching all of his games ever since he's been in
Carolina. Did they watch the news?
And he's a great quarterback, and I know it's not Cam. It's his teammates, the coaching staff, and the general manager. They need to fire that Mike Shula and that Ron Rivera because they're both setting him up. And I think he needs to be, you know that people in LaGrange, Georgia cares about him. They look at his games and they really love him. And I'm a big fan of him. So this is all I call and leave my message. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for that call. And on top of that is Slim J said she needs to apply to be general manager. Like, well, damn, is that everybody in the chat love that call. Lady be going off is what they said. She did. She brought it off. She said, "Where she say she was from? LaGrange."
Slim J says, "Well, damn."
Slim J said, "Well, damn." Everybody wants her to be general manager. And oh gosh, what a great call. I hope you call back. I think it was Tammy. I didn't catch it at the beginning. We had some
fantastic. She sounded like Tammy from the Paul Feinbaum show. I don't know if you guys ever listened to that.
That's what exactly somebody said. We got to go here. I'm going to go back and let's listen to the beginning and see if we can catch her name.
This is Lynn Shannon. I live down here.
Oh, Lynn. Her name is Lynn. Where is she from?
LaGrange, Georgia.
LaGrange, Georgia. All right. Well, Lynn, I hope you call back every week because you brought it. Straight brought it. Really, Rail said Ron should show that kind of intensity.
That's right.
And they said she runs a tight ship and takes no mess. Like, yeah, I agree. Fantastic. We're Lynn from LaGrange for GM. Start the campaign, folks. All right. That's the cat calls line, guys. You can reach that each and every week all day long at 252-228-5098. Mel, tell them why they should call. Joe, you tell them why they should call, actually.
You guys need to call because it's a great opportunity to get your voice heard. We love getting the phone calls. We love being able to show them on our podcast and or play them in our podcast and let fans, you know, hear what other people are thinking. It's something that, you know, we thought about for a long time and finally have done it. And it seems like more and more people are getting into it. Every week we're getting more and more calls. And I encourage you to please, if you have something to say, call us up. We want to hear it. Fans want to hear it. We're giving you this opportunity to get your voice heard. So, don't be shy. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say.
That's right. It really
I think I got one more. I've got one more call here. Let me see if I can pump it through right. Is that I found it in the email. Let me see here. Hold on. Here it comes. Nope. Hold up. Here it comes. Hold on. I got to get it. Like maybe this is, I hope it doesn't echo. If it echoes, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, Panther Nation.
Oh, no.
Your boy, Scotty Jurassic. Hey, I got to admit, I was not planning on calling because I was a little trepidatious about this weekend. But what? I got to say, thank you, whoever your general manager is. Kelvin Benjamin. Wow. Keep pounding. We're coming for you.
Shut up, Scotty.
Oh, yes.
Shut up, Scotty. Shut up.
Sunday.
I hope we crush it just to shut him up.
Enough, yeah. All right, so that's the cat calls line. You can call in 252-228-5098. Guys, we need to get in our picks for this week. Fantastic show tonight. Tons of people watching. We thank everybody for being on the show. What we hope for is this, is that you subscribe to the channel. That will make our day. We are close. Last time I checked, we're about to hit 700 subscribers on YouTube. We have been blowing up in the podcast download category. So we appreciate all of you. We encourage you, if you're listening in your car later, when you get to a good stopping point or at the gym, when you're getting off the treadmill, to share the show on social media or to consider writing a review for us or even consider donating to support the show on Patreon. Guys, we need to talk about our division picks. Let's go ahead and do the Panthers. Actually, how did we look last week? All of us picked the Panthers, right?
Yep.
And then who else did we have? Let me see. I've got the picks up here somewhere.
I think we all had Atlanta over the Jets, and I think I was the only one that varied in the Saints game. I took a chance and went with the Bears, and the Bears gave them a run. But you guys,
I think I took the Jets.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I took.
I got it right here. Is that everybody took the Panthers? Mel took the Bears, and Joe took the Jets.
Yeah,
is this right? Sure. Panthers, Saints, Falcons, Tony called them all the first time ever. I only need to do that like 27 more times.
Hey, did you see that blind squirrel outside finding all those nuts?
I know. You heard about that clock, right? You heard about that broken clock. It's right twice a day.
Yeah, something that we didn't mention, I don't think was mentioned, was Adam Sheen or Shine.
Oh, yeah.
Or POS, with his comment on Cam. I can't believe he had the audacity to say that.
Especially when I kind of just tried to defend the guy recently for when he's been wrong. He's kind of backtracked on that and apologized. He totally just went hot take.
You think it was a troll move? Of course.
It's a troll move, period. Is that, you know what? Turns out that when you see network guys, that's why you gotta like our damn show, guys, and share it, because that's how hard it is to make it on the internet when you work for damn NFL.com and you gotta be a troll to get likes and to get listens. That's telling you something. But that, yeah, it is a troll move, because Tyrod Taylor sucks. And actually, I don't even dislike Tyrod Taylor, but he ain't even the same universe as Cam Newton.
The backup, yeah. And
career, you're right. Career backup just became a starter since he's been in Buffalo.
Bullcrap. Yeah, not even worth my time, Joe. I just wanted to mention it too.
I think it was at least worth mentioning, but it's really a moronic statement. If you have any real knowledge of football, you can't make that statement.
Yeah, that's ice up worthy. But guys, this weekend goes a long way to say where things are going to end up in the NFC South. The NFC South is playing each other this weekend. There's only two games to pick.
Good point.
Yeah. All right. So only two games to pick. I got the Panthers. What do you guys got?
I'm taking the Panthers, and I'm taking the Saints.
Mm. Joe's taking the Panthers and the Saints. They're playing Tampa?
Yes.
Mel, who you got?
I'm going to – part of me wants to go rogue. Part of me wants to go rogue and do that, but I just can't do it, man. I think I would pull for the Taliban over the Falcons. So even if I'm wrong, I would rather be wrong than be right with those guys. So I'm going with the Panthers on Sunday.
Next time you can just say something to the effect of, like, I would sign an abstinence contract over pulling for the Falcons, not become a terrorist.
I did. Okay, jeez. Well, maybe. True.
Oh, we just got a follow from the CIA.
Uh-oh. All
right.
Donald Trump's guys are at the door. I'm in trouble. All right.
Who you got?
All right.
Panthers.
I'm taking the Panthers, and I am taking the Saints.
Well, we're all just picking the same. I'm picking the Panthers because I'm not a jerk. I'm not a terrorist. That goes to you, NSA. Give us a follow. Give us a share. Like us on Facebook, NSA.
We know you're watching.
Yeah, we know you're watching. And
our audience just grew.
Actually, you know what? I'm changing it up. I'm going Bucks. Bucks with the upset. Where is it at, anyway? Please say in Tampa with no fans.
I'm pretty sure that one's in New Orleans.
Shit. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but I think so.
Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
All right. I'm going Saints. Jesus. I'm hoping we get an upset. We can make up that half game. We got to get the win. All right, so those are our picks.
But, you know, the good thing is if we keep winning, we still control our own destiny. We might be a half game back, but we're playing the Saints again.
So. No, we got to keep winning, but it would be nice. We certainly can't lose to a division opponent this week. Just the way it goes.
Close to a must win.
Shockheads picking the Bucks. The Bucks and the Panthers. All right. Okay, so let's get on with this.
I just don't see that happening.
All right, guys, we've got a, hold on. I'm going to go back to our cameras now. I got the music. I'm sorry. Boom. All right. Guys, we got our Ice Up Picks of the Week. This is the segment where we give our homage to Steve Smith. Speaking of Steve Smith beating dang Michael Irvin's ass, this is when we tell someone in the world to get it together to ice up. And everybody's fair game. This is the one point where we can diverge from football on this show. Joe, who you got in your Ice Up Picks?
Well, my ice up pick this week goes to an entire movement. Okay, there's a movement out there called the Top Free Movement. Has anyone heard of this?
The what?
Top Free.
How do you spell
it? Is that like spring break at college?
Right, that kind of top free. Top free.
A top free, like no tops.
Right.
What do you got a problem with that?
There's a movement out there of women who are really serious about their desire to be able to go shirtless.
Got no problem with it.
In the same, any area where a man is permitted to do so.
Got no problem with it, Joe.
I had this discussion with my wife last night, and she was kind of surprised. And it's the problem I have is, you know, when you're around children, because often men go shirtless around children, in particular, like a beach area or something like that. You know, it's going to bring up questions that you may not want to answer with your child just yet.
Folks in the chat room have no problem.
In Europe, and it's very common in Europe, but this is America. And
equality, you know, Joe, someone yelled in the chat room.
It reminds me of Tony's students getting on you about trying to ban yoga pants.
I know. What a disaster that was.
I said to my wife, there are like tens of thousands of women that are in favor of this. And she said, yeah. And I bet there's tens of thousands of men that are in favor of this too.
Yeah, you just found two of them right here, Jeff.
I said, well, you're probably right, but I'm willing to bet it's probably millions of men that are in favor of this.
Good These point. People in Good the point. Chat room are killing me.
So anyway, for the reason stated, I am icing that movement up just because I don't know that as a society or as a culture, we're quite ready for the top three people to have their way just yet. Not to say we won't be there one day. I don't think we're quite ready, though, just yet.
Now, you know what happens when you ice up a top three zone, right?
What's that? You get hard nipples.
Exactly.
Hey.
Are you just happy to see me?
Exactly.
Are those hard nipples? Or are you happy to see me? No. A little of both.
Leave it to Joe, baby.
Both.
From all the mad crapper to the top.
So, Joe, the guy, by the way, I would like to give Joe a clap for this, Isa, because Joe is a boob man. I know Joe, but I know Joe going back to since I was 15 years old, man. And Joe is a boob man. So for him to say that, I'm telling Joe to ice up and get back to your roots. All right. Mal, what you got for us?
Oh, good gracious.
Gosh, always man, good luck following that.
I know, right? Well, you know, I am going to ice up a total other organization that many people will say has nothing to do with football, but it probably does. I mean, you think the Panthers screwed up today at the buzzer, trading Kelvin Benjamin and getting back a couple of picks, and that's debatable, and we've had that debate all night. But there is another organization in the NFL that the story goes they were working hard on a trade right up to the deadline, and they finally, the Cleveland Browns, finally get a quarterback. You know, they missed out on Garoppolo, who went to the 49ers. Their fans were down on them, but they finally went to the Cincinnati Bengals and got A.J. McCarron. Lots of promise, solid quarterback. It's going to turn that organization around. They come to a trade in principle with the Bengals. They celebrate, okay? The top brass is celebrating. They're partying in the Browns' office, giving each other high fives. Seriously, they did not get the call into the NFL office on time. So they get the trade in principle. They're high-fiving each other and woo-hooing and drinking their champagne. And then somebody says, you called that in, right? They're spitting out their champagne going, oh, crap. And they call. And when they call into the office, it's 401.
Oh, yeah. No.
And they even appeal. They even appeal to Roger Goodell saying, come on. We had this in principle. It was denied. So the trade does not go through.
Oh, my God. They screw up everything.
I mean, that is just unbelievable to me. So for all of you upset at Marty Herney, it could be much, 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 much worse. You could be Cleveland Browns. So for that, Cleveland Browns and the images that are still in my mind of this top-free zone that I hope is not in Cleveland, ice up, son.
Man, was that a diss at Cleveland boobs?
That was so deep, you got to think about that.
God, I know. I'm sorry. I've been thinking about these boobs the whole time. Like, I don't even have an ice up pick. I've just been thinking about these boobs.
I apologize to the girl gang up front.
Sorry, just being real. I feel like I want to live my life like Relly Rel's name. Like, I'd just be like, that's the realest dude I ever met. His name is, like, real. So I'm going to say this is a couple of – I hate the ice up Panthers fan. And I'm not even going to call out the person's name because I don't feel like going back through my Twitter feed to find it. But I love Panther fans. I do. I love pretty much all of you. And I love this person too, but so Cam Newton throws this interception on Sunday. It was a bad pass. He didn't put enough zip on the ball. He threw an out pass. It looked like an out route or something to the effect where Dixon runs down the seam, then cuts to the outside. It's one of those picks that can be under one of those passes that can be easily undercut if you leave the ball flat or you don't throw and put enough zip on it. And that's exactly what Cam did. He did both. And it was picked off and it was a crappy pass. In a fit of mild anger, I tweeted out, shit pass. Shit play, Cam. And then some lady hit me up on Twitter and she said, if you only cheer for the good plays, or the if you only cheer for the good plays, you're not really a good fan or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna say this is that I've said things that I say about Miko Grimes about Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? And that's weird. Uh-huh. That's weird, folks. No, I love Cam Newton. It's hard to think of. I feel like this, man. I'm really getting to the point where I love the internet. The internet is like my favorite place to hang out, or one of the coolest things in the whole universe. But there's a ton of witch hunts going on on the internet today. And like, I mean, they're going after people, and I'm not trying to diminish people's hardships in the past. But I feel like, man, is that they're being like this. You said something about Cam Newton when you were 12, and we're going to bring that back and ruin your career now. It's just kind of crazy. And then, like,
collective self-righteousness.
Yeah, yep. Man. And then when I got that about Cam, I was like, no, it is a shit play. I'm sorry.
That's right.
That was it. So to you folks, if you don't know this, and I didn't go off on this person, I tried to be calm.
I stepped in there and said something for you back. Cause I mean that, you know, I mean, there is no bigger Panther fan than Tony. There's just not. I mean, Joe is a close, you guys are 1A, 1 and 1A, but to think a true fan doesn't have the right to say their team or their favorite player has a shit play when he has one, that, I mean, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. And you don't just sit there and throw rose petals at your team when they're not performing.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, this I stand with Cam t-shirt. Who made it up? We did. Who made up the Cam Wow right there? You can buy one for $5 on CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Why don't you do it? Who made that right there? We did. You know what I'm saying? Who wears a damn cape? A cape. A super Cam cape.
You know,
games.
I'm not sure you can wear that the next time you come back because it was bad luck the first game.
I think it might be me. I don't think it's the cape.
Well, that means
you
can't
go. I've had some tough luck at some Panther games. I've been, you know what, but I was at the NFC Championship game, so I just say that. That's one game I was at. They won that one. But I'm going to say this is for all y'all that are ready to just talk junk to people on the internet whenever you can, like, chill out, man. Just chill out. Even though I was talking junk about Cam. Because I was. It was a crap play. I won't talk in junk about him. So, ice up. All right, this is the C3 Podcast. We've gone long enough, fellas. My name is Tony Dunn. You can follow our work at CarolinaCatChronicles.com. And somewhere, I've got some music to get us out of here. Mel, can you tell them what's going on with you? Anything you want them to be aware of? I know I've been putting out a ton of videos on YouTube. I'd like for you to check those out. Five keys to the matchup, Monday minutes wrap up. What do you got going on, Mel?
Oh, man, I'm just sitting here looking at all this extra Halloween candy and how I'm going to finish that up before I go to bed. You know, that's kind of the biggest thing. But
yeah,
other than
that, finish that up, you won't be going to bed.
I'll tell you what, this is my first year in this house back in the QC, man. We had over 350 trick-or-treaters come to my house. That was unbelievable. Loving being back here. It was awesome. But, no, I mean, this is the time of year. Really all year round, I got my eye on the draft. Trying to figure out, you know, who that next player is going to be. At Panthers Drafter, hit me up on Twitter. Follow me anytime. Every other week on Draft Tech, we have a new mock draft coming out. It's time to get in there and start taking a look at it. Got one coming out Thursday.
Honorary ice up picks from the YouTube chat are Adam Shine. I saw that one. Let me see. Basically, everybody wants topless women, Joe. Joe, where can they follow you on Twitter?
Guys, follow me on Twitter. Tell me what you like about the idea of topless women. At Joe Romano.
Send pics of topless women. DM
so
only,
we're,
please.
We're going to have all kinds of government eyes on us now, man. Between that and the terrorist comments. Jeez.
Whatever. There's worse things than boobs in this world. My name is Tony Dunn. This is the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast. You can catch me at @cat_chronicles on Twitter. And every Tuesday night here, breaking up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. We'll see you next week, folks. Subscribe to the C3 Carolina Panthers podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or anywhere you can catch an RSS feed. Check out CarolinaCatChronicles.com for the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective.
Great cash, homie.